This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 247, for the week ending Saturday, November 15th, 2014.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Catholic Weekend. It's not Captain Jeff. Do you recognize me without my music? It's Maria Johnson, and I'm here with my good pals, Steve Nelson.
Hey, hello, everybody. Hey, Maria, you can be my captain today.
Oh, Captain, my captain. You're just making me blush. It's the excitement of
my
it
job
all.
Is done.
Yeah, your job is done. It's going to be a train wreck. And our other good pal, Father Corey Stika.
Hello. How's it going?
Well, I guess I'm going to lead the train wreck today. It's already crashed a little bit, hasn't it?
Oh, no. We haven't had any technical hiccups or anything, so.
Not yet.
We do have
not
all
yet.
The right little flashing lights and everything going on, don't we?
Listen, I got my flashing lights going right here. I put a timer on my phone, and I'm watching it, so you guys can watch out for about 14 minutes, too. So it's great to be here together. You can see that Jeff is probably somewhere in the air. So watch out for falling debris and blue eyes, right? And Sarah, we understand, is on the way to a grand adventure that I'm sure she'll come back and tell us about when she returns.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, what's going on with you guys?
Well, I'm just trying to stay out of the cold. We're in the middle of our first real bitter cold snap. It's about 0 degrees Fahrenheit outside right now with down to 20 below wind chill.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
I can't even believe that. I'm putting it on my hat just to think about it. My Angry Birds hat just went on.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's really cold for us, too, but I can't complain with what you've got. It's only 33 here, which is balmy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good right about now.
Holy smokes. Well, that's what we have going on here, but it's not that cold. If the wind keeps out of the way, I think that we can survive it. But I have a friend that's visiting from Miami, and I had to find an extra blanket for her. And she's out doing some things in the yard with John this morning while we're here. And she came in and she says, do you have a hat? Do you have a scarf? He's already in my boots and my hat and my scarf. I said, do you need an Arctic, jacket or something? She goes, no, I'm fine.
Isn't it funny what you get acclimated to?
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
That's why I laugh. You hear people from someplace like Montana or Alaska or someplace like that where it does get quite cold during the winter. And then they go down to Georgia or Florida or Arizona, and everybody's all bundled up and it's 65 degrees.
Right.
And everybody from Montana is sitting there going, they're in shorts and T-shirt going, this is great.
Yeah.
I remember we had a Christmas one time when we were still in Miami, and we had a swimming pool in our backyard, and we roasted a pig. We had the big traditional Noche Buena pig roast with the black beans and rice and all the things, right?
Yum.
But it was Christmas Eve, and we heard that there was a cold snap coming. It was 72 degrees, and we were all wearing our sweaters, and my grandmother showed up in her fox stole, and...
And then we've probably all known the college student who wears shorts and flip-flops all through the winter.
My son. My son. There's a picture of him wearing a hat and a parka and shorts and flip-flops. And you can see the snowflakes in the picture.
Oof. I've known people like that, too, and usually we just kind of shake our head and you're nuts. But
there's a limit, There's a limit.
Of course, How often they wear the shorts depends on how much they drink the beverages, shall we say.
I see. That may be the case. Although, you know what? Let's do an experiment on the air right now. And Steve is familiar with this. You know, I'm in my son's room. And he moved out last year into a big boy apartment. And so I've taken over the studio. But when I was cleaning up to paint it and do everything, I think Steve was with me on the phone when I was digging things out from underneath the bed. Let me just take a break and see what I can find. Talk among yourselves.
That's just dangerous to go spelunking under under the bed.
Oh boy, she must be finding some good stuff.
I have found something. I have found a treasure.
Is it an open or an unopened bottle of beer?
Unopened.
For those not watching the video, she found a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
There are two underneath there. So I found some booty for me. It's my house, my beer.
There you go.
Somebody's storing up for the winter, like a little squirrel or something.
It's their survival stash. Yeah.
Actually, it's probably more of an indictment on the last time I cleaned in here, right? Uh-huh. That's funny.
How do we know it's your son's stash?
Because I don't drink Pabst Blue Ribbon. Oh, okay. My tastes run a little bit more expensive than that. You know what I went? I went to the Brick Store pub yesterday. With my girlfriend, we were in Decatur, and I had an Echeton.
Wild. I don't know what that is.
Oh my gosh, it was a quad. I don't know what that means either. It was a delicious beer. It was really dark.
What I'm thinking it is, that would be really strong too, alcohol wise.
Oh, it was violent. It came in a. They poured it in a little tight glass.
It's probably a Belgian style beer. Of course, Sarah would be able to tell you much more about this than I could, because I'm kind of an amateur Catholic drinky. She's the professional Catholic drinky. But Belgian style, because they've got different. The Belgian beers were the Trappist beers. They're the ones by the monks. And the higher, you know, you got the double and the triple, and I guess the quad would be the next level. And that meant fermented longer, stronger alcohol content. That would be the one maybe like the abbot would drink.
Oh, yeah, well, monastery. I was the Pope yesterday, really? Because I'd never had anything like that. It was good, though.
Sounds good. Those Belgian beers are really good.
Some we fussy. Always seem to talk about beer on this show.
I know. Well, I guess that's where our interests run. What would you – oh, let's talk about what we were talking about earlier, about the comedy. Steve and I were talking before you came on about – watching Jimmy Fallon the other night, right? Tell your story.
Yeah. Well, I don't even remember what was on the show, but I just remember watching Jimmy Fallon, and, you know, he walks out from behind the big shiny curtain like Johnny Carson used to do. And I just kind of had this, I don't know, craving, I guess. It was like, wouldn't it be nice if we could have Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon back and just to talk about current events? You know, what would their take be on the current situation of things? And I missed the big band, the Doc Severinsen big band. Oh, yeah. And I don't know, it just crossed my mind. I mean, maybe I'm showing my age, you know. I was like, oh, I wish it was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
But back, you know, I used to really, I like that great, that grand entrance, you know, of the Doc Severinsen band, you know, you know, and that whole thing. And I don't know. I like Jimmy Fallon's show a lot, but it doesn't. It's not as classy as Johnny Carson was.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. Johnny Carson was more of the old style interviewer. You know, you watch that, or you watch some of the, like Ed Sullivan and some of those classics, which admittedly some of that predates me, I'll admit. Though I remember watching Carson as a kid and really enjoyed it. Didn't get all the jokes because I wasn't supposed to at that age, but still enjoyed it. You know, it was... definitely it was a classier style. It was, they weren't quite going for the shock. They weren't quite going for the flash. It was, he was, and you know, Johnny Carson himself was, by all accounts, a very humble and private man. He didn't want his life to be out there. Yeah, he was on TV, but once he left that studio, it was his life. Mm-hmm. You don't see that a lot with the modern...
He was a Midwesterner, wasn't he? Wasn't he from Nebraska?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because what I always liked about the Carson show, and I used to watch it when I was in college too, I think a little bit, but I was mostly, I think, a kid in high school, staying up late when I wasn't supposed to. But I always liked how he would have these random guests that just happened to be in the same studio because they were working on something next door, and they would just pop in.
Mm-hmm.
It was like all of these people were pals, they were friends, or at least friendly acquaintances that they would, you know, pop mm-hmm. in on each other, and I think that those were some of the best shows.
Yeah. Yeah, because they seemed less scripted.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I really like Jimmy Fallon's show too. You know,
yeah, he's got some
hilarious bits that he does, you know, like,
oh yeah. Some of the stuff that some of the stuff that gets put on YouTube is just absolutely outrageously funny. I mean, it's just incredible. Some of it gets kind of stupid. I sometimes find his humor to be off-putting because it's just kind of dumb humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some of the stuff that he puts out there is just absolutely fantastic.
Well,
you see the one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just saw one. I think it was this week that was, I thought, awful. What's his name? Jay Leno came back.
Mm.
And
awkward.
It was. I was watching it, and it was like, you know, we joke about the train wreck here, but I thought it was a train wreck. Mm. It was like one of those things remember in Seinfeld, Kramer, I can't turn away. What was the thing about the painting? Anyway, I couldn't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching Jay Leno, and he walks out like it's his house. You know, he walks out. It was his old set in a different city, I think. But he walks out, and he starts to deliver his very dated comedy routine, his stand-up routine. You know, I don't know. I think the kind of comedy that I appreciate is finding the funny in what's happening, mm-hmm. as opposed to having these scripted jokes that you just get up and you tell. You know, mm-hmm. even though I'm sure that everything that Fallon does is very scripted as well. Mm-hmm. But it's just a different delivery. And I thought it was awful. I finally did turn it off. I've had enough of this guy. He's not funny.
Yeah.
He's not funny. Awkward, not funny anymore kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I know Jay Leno made his career doing stand-up. That's where he really started. Mm-hmm. And it was just because he did so well at it that he was given the opportunity to become the Johnny Carson's successor.
Yeah.
I mean, he did well, but admittedly, I wasn't as big a fan of Jay Leno as I was of Johnny Carson by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't watch a lot of those shows anymore anyways because, unfortunately, the humor just isn't quite my style anymore, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I
just go to bed earlier, too.
No, I'm usually up during them. I just don't watch them.
Oh, no. I find myself nodding off at about 10:30.
Yeah.
and I feel like, no, I'm not going to be that old lady yet that has to go to bed at 9:30.
Yeah. Well, I do what I always did with either the Tonight Show or Letterman was like, I just wait to see who's on, and then I make a determination if I really want to stay up or not. And if it doesn't catch my attention, at least.
No way. Sleep is way more important to me these days.
Generally, just to say things that make me feel older and older.
Do you ever see that that report that comes out from one of the colleges that says freshmen this year don't remember? Oh, that always makes me instantly old.
It's kind of like the freshmen this year have never known a life without the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding me. Really? You don't know what a floppy disk is. It's like,
what?
How much of my life? You know?
We have an intern that works in our office part-time, and she's like, I think she's barely 20, and she walked in, and she was like, oh, this cold. It makes me feel so old.
Oh.
And they're in the office. said, go home, go. No, we cannot have this today. We can't have a 20-year-old complaining about how old she feels.
Well, can you imagine how those 20-year-olds are going to feel in 25, 30 years when that freshman list comes out and they're what are they going to be reminiscing about that they've taken for granted today that 30 years from now is going to be outdated?
Yeah, who knows?
The karma train's coming in a few decades.
What do you mean they don't know Snapchat? What do you mean they don't know?
Yeah. There you go, really. Instagram. Well, let's segue into our first break, and then we'll come back.
Thanks, Maria. You guys are having a great conversation without me. I really miss you. Well, yes, you're right. It's the first break, and it is time for us to talk about the end-of-the-year giving campaign at SQPN. And looking at the website right now, you can do the same thing if you'd like, sqpn.com. I'm seeing the podcast piggy, and right now we're looking for $18,000 this year, in addition to the amount of money, recurrent pledges that we have been receiving so far. And $18,000 is not a lot of money. And so far, we have about 15% of that amount, $2,540, as we're recording the show today on November 15th. So if you have been listening to the show and have never contributed or haven't contributed to SQPN for some time, please consider doing so. It will really help us out. We really need this money to cover the costs of web hosting, media server hosting, production assistance, etc. And without it, we just can't keep going. So we really do mean that. We need your help. And we need $18,000 in new donations, new contributions. So please consider prayerfully giving to the SQPN giving campaign. It is tax deductible. We are a 501c3 corporation. So, you know, it's that time of year to start giving to reduce your taxes. And we really appreciate your help. So, again, head over to sqpn.com/donate and help us out. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Jeff's great commercial, y'all, because I certainly stopped that that event.
Want to talk about some of the things in the news?
Yeah, let's talk about some things that are happening.
Here's what's going on. Caught my eye. Did you hear that the Vatican is going to install showers in some of the public restrooms around St. Peter's Rome?
Yeah, that Pope. When is he always taking care of the poor?
I think it was pretty dumb.
This guy, Francis.
I think it's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. I think that's, you know, one of the things we don't do a very good job at is how do we handle the poor? And it's something we struggle with here in, even in Malta, Montana, a little town along US Highway 2. How do we handle the poor? We've been discussing it here, especially with the cold weather and people coming through, and how do we handle that in a way that's respectful of them? You know, we don't, it's, yeah, I'm hate that when I hit a point where I draw a blank. It was just, yeah. Be respectful of them to give them what they need.
Right. I took a tour of our Catholic charities here in Tulsa about a year ago. And the first thing they did is they sat us all down and said, all right, we want to talk about why we do the things we do and how we do the things they do. And they said, the number one thing is we want to interact with each person, no matter who they are, with the dignity of being made in the image and likeness of God. So they said, a lot of people come here because they want charity, they want food, they want clothes or whatever. But we sit down and talk with each person and say, okay, yeah, we can do those things for you, but we want to know how you got into the situation that you're in, that you need these things, and what can we do to help that? Mm-hmm. So that it's never just a handout. It's always a conversation about what else can we do to help you alleviate the situation you're in. And I see these things with the showers as the kind of the same thing, in that they're speaking to the dignity of the person and mm-hmm. trying to reach out to them to make them have a better image of themselves.
Absolutely. Did you ever see that? There was a YouTube video that was out a couple of years ago where they took a homeless man and they brought him in and they addressed his physical needs, all of his physical needs. So they went in and I think that he did, he had an opportunity to bathe and to wear, some new clean clothes, and they gave him a haircut and some other grooming things that they did for him, and he immediately felt much better, but the way he looked was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he had a makeover, because he didn't. He was just given this opportunity to tend to what his personal needs were.
Right.
In a very I don't think it was sterile. I think that they were trying to really help the whole person, as opposed mm-hmm. to putting a Band-Aid on a situation like, okay, you're hungry, I'm going to give you a sandwich. That's not gonna solve anything.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, there are those who are, they're homeless because they choose to be.
Yes, there's that element, but there are people who they just come. But
most people, I can't say most. I don't have quite the experience to judge that. But there are those who are homeless because they have lost their house, they have lost their job, they've lost their vehicle, they've lost everything they have, but what they've got, the clothes on their back and maybe a little mm-hmm. bit in a bag,
mm-hmm.
and that's their entire life. And those especially are the people we need to be reaching out to and saying, we want to help you get a better life. We want to help you find a place to live. We want to help you find another job or get the resources you need to get back on your feet. And those who do choose to live out on the streets, that we still treat them with the respect and the love, give them the help that mm-hmm. they need to live a good life. It's not to say that they have to be productive members of society. I always cringe whenever I hear people say that, but still treat them with the respect and the dignity they deserve as human beings, as creatures made in the image and likeness of God.
Well, when we talk about pro-life, we're always thinking about anti-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But pro-life is at every stage of a person's life.
Absolutely.
Not just end-of-life issues. It's in between is where we really need to address a lot of the human dignity issues.
And that's, in my opinion, that's one of the sad things here in the church today, is because of political ideology, we have developed such a split between so-called pro-lifers and social justice people.
Mm-hmm.
When, first of all, pro-life is social justice.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking anti-abortion, what most people think of pro-life. That is a social justice issue. So is anti-euthanasia. But also serving the preaching out to those in need, filling the corporal and spiritual works of mercy is pro-life, is social justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know that people, not everybody can do everything. No one can spend, an hour a week at the abortion clinic praying and going and spending an hour a week at the food bank and an hour a week feeding at the soup kitchen and an hour a week doing this. Not everybody has the time to do that, and we have to specialize. But we still have to make sure that we are taking care of everyone the best that we can, helping. And mm-hmm. if that means we give money to a food bank, instead of going and serve there. Well, at least we're doing something to help that.
Hmm. Did you hear about the story that's kind of related to that in Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
So what I'm referring to is that there was a 90-year-old man and a couple of ministers that were arrested for feeding the homeless. Because Fort Lauderdale has recently passed an ordinance outlawing a lot of organizations from passing out food on the street. And I was just reviewing it, you know, as you were speaking, and I can't figure out the reasoning, what their rationale is for passing this ordinance, other than they don't want to attract homeless people to Fort Lauderdale. But there are people already there that are starving.
That's insanity.
It's insane.
As I read it, it didn't sound like it was so much, I mean, part of it is not attracting, because Fort Lauderdale is a place that's much more temperate, so that those who are traveling and willing to go places would go down there, because then they could spend year-round basically outside. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it, but I don't think that's the whole story. As I was been reading stories on it, it does sound like there are other food banks. I think their concern is doing this in a public area where other people might be around, and the increased risk of violence and so on. Whether it's rightly or wrongly, unfortunately, those who are homeless are viewed as increasing crime and so on. Mm. And I don't have enough experience to say whether or not that's the case. Because, I mean, I know you do have people who are mentally ill who are homeless, and they can potentially be violent. Again, this is potential. It's not to say that every single homeless person who's mentally ill will be violent, but it can happen. And I think that's the fear. I think there's also an image. Again, they're doing it at places like city parks, where the city would rather have families and the stereotypical American image of a park, and have feeding homeless there does not fit that image.
Right. I mean, there's some rationale, I mean, to what you're saying, but it seems to me there needs to be a middle ground,
mm-hmm.
you know, some compromise that allows the homeless to be fed and not to arrest people who are trying to do charitable work. I mean, there ought to be some middle ground there.
Why don't we compromise on that for a few minutes and come back and wrap that up when we return from this break?
Well, Maria, I'm very impressed with your segues. They're almost as corny as mine. thanks. Again, for that. And let's see. This is our bottom of the hour break. And let's talk about some of the great things going on at SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network. Now, have you checked out some of our new shows like Tech to the Future? Yeah, I have been able to participate in a couple of those episodes. And I love technology. And so does Father Roderick and Father Corey and Father Daryl. And I'm sure we'll have other guest hosts in the future. And if you're the kind of person who is into gadgets and technology, I think that Tech to the Future is the show for you. So check that out. Also, of course, The Break, Father Roderick's award-winning, fantastic show. You can't go a week without listening to Father Roderick and his fantastic show, The Break. How about The Walk? Have you heard of that one? Father Roderick used to do something called Health and Holiness. He rebranded his show where he takes his portable audio recorder with him and on a walk, and he talks about all kinds of great stuff. So very interesting show, The Walk. The last one, he talks about overflowing agendas and bulky inboxes. How about the Secret series? A lot of great shows in our Secret series. Secrets of the Hobbit. The last one, Battle of Five Armies, theatrical trailer analysis. We have the Secrets of Doctor Who. And they just concluded the series with a kind of a end of series wrap up. And a fantastic show. Should check it out. Father Corey on our episode today is one of the guest hosts of that show. And let's see, what else? We have the Secrets of Once Upon a Time, another fantastic program, another new program that you may not have heard of and may not have checked out yet, Movie Panel. And the last episode with Greg Willits, checking out the movie Interstellar. So if you want to hear Father Roderick and Greg Willits review that movie, head over to sqbn.com and listen to the second episode of Movie Panel. As I said, lots of great stuff to check out, a lot of new shows. Head over to sqpn.com. And remember, we're in the midst of our giving campaign, so please do not forget SQPN when you are considering your giving for the year. Thank you, and God bless.
Just before I came on the air here, recorded Tech to the Weekend with Father Roderick, and then would just get ready and jump over here, well, someone came to the door. And it was a parishioner who was in the church. We leave, you know, living in a small town, we can actually leave our church open 24/7. We don't have to worry about usually people breaking in or anything like that. Well, it sounds like because of the bitter cold, we've got a couple of gentlemen who potentially decided that our church was a good warm place to spend the night. And of course, we struggle with that, how to properly handle that, because we really can't allow them to do that. We're not equipped for people to stay overnight, except for certain circumstances like retreats where they're, you know, where there's chaperones and so on. Mm-hmm. So how do we handle
liability issues?
Yeah, liability issues. And you know, even if these gentlemen come in and they go downstairs and they sleep in the basement and they don't do any damage, you know, we still can't allow that, because what happens if there is an emergency? We don't have the equipment for people staying overnight to be able to evacuate, and they don't know the facilities and so on. So struggle with how do we handle that? You know, do we allow them to stay there knowing that we could get in trouble? Our insurance company would throw a fit. Do we throw them out because they're not supposed to be there? Do we, you know, yesterday we had a gentleman stop by, and for all I know, it's one of them that's over there. And I said, you know, you can't stay here, but you can go inside the church and warm up for a few minutes, you know, because it is so cold and he's been walking. But then you got to go. We work, our ministerial association works through the sheriff's office to distribute vouchers for motel rooms and what have you, so that they can at least have one night in a warm place. Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge that we all have to struggle with, because how do we balance the needs of the parish, the needs of the requirements that are put on the parish, and their needs and their requirements? And that's a tough question for us as Christians.
Mm-hmm. It is, and then you can end up with some really bad press. It makes mm-hmm. it blow up and look very different from what.
And there, you know, and there is the concern of people who are transient. And that's more what we face. We don't face a lot of homeless people. We face people who are, they have a home somewhere else and they're passing through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they're passing through and, you know, basically trying to get through on other people's, you know, generosity. But how do you handle that in a way that's respectful to them, but doesn't put people at risk? Because mm-hmm. these are unknown people. They could be just to be violent. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ran into the same thing when I was campus minister, and you know, we had a 24-hour chapel that occasionally some people would sleep in, and you know, basically what I was told to do was to, you know, encourage them to use some of the social services that were in the area and get them mm-hmm. to, you know, move off our property and things like that. But if I was in an area where those things didn't exist, then I'd want to do more than that. And then like you say, where's that line between what's appropriate and what's not, and what's, you know, it's a tough question. It's a very tough question.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always need to remember that they are human beings made in the image and likeness of God, and to be respectful of that, you know, at the same time, not saying, well, let them take whatever they want. You know, that's their ego. Cause
yeah, there's another side to that. Yeah.
You know, we have to serve others, and yeah, you can give them money, you can give them places to stay and whatever, but at some point, maybe that money might run out, and there might be people who are truly in need who can't be served because we don't have the money. And so that's always a hard question.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in a related theme, did you see the article about the top 10 ways that churches drive away first-time guests? So yes. People who come, coming to, you know, I've probably said this before, but I've never been more insulted in my life than the day that I got thrown out of the church in Monte Carlo because I wanted to go to Mass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I was traveling, and I did the whole. I studied abroad. I studied in Aix-en-Provence in France, and it was a really close to the French Riviera. So really close to excellent train service that had me really backpacking through Europe when I was studying over there. So I did the whole stick, a couple of changes of underwear and a new T-shirt into a backpack and take off, for a long weekend. So I mean, I've been thrown out of better places, but I mean, I witnessed, I witnessed a lot of people that were not allowed to enter some churches because they were in shorts, and we were traveling in the summer, especially, if you weren't dressed appropriately, you couldn't get in to see some of the churches. So we quickly learned that if we were traveling in shorts to put in some sweatpants, and maybe a blouse that had some sleeves so that we could enter into the churches. So I dressed up to go to St. Peter's, and I dressed up to go to the Basilica in Florence, and even the baptistry in Pisa was my first experience, and I wasn't allowed in there because I was in shorts. But in France, it was actually a Sunday morning. And I was actually wearing a dress, and I wanted to go to Mass. They turned me away. They said, no, there's a Mass going on. And I go, yes, that's the idea. And I'm here to worship along with the other people here. Nope, come back after Mass. Oh, I was so incensed. So anyway.
We had a similar situation in Paris. I was with a group of students, and we had our priest with us. And we tried to go to Mass at Notre Dame in Paris. But, they wanted us to get in line and buy a ticket to get into the church.
Mm.
Oh.
But our priest knew. I mean, he'd been there before. And he said, there's Mass going on in the side chapel. And, we just want to go in there and go to Mass. And they didn't believe us. They thought we were going to go into the side chapel and then get into the main church from there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're with our priest. He's right here, and we're going to go to Mass. And it took us about 10 minutes to convince them that we weren't trying to scam them and get into the church for free. And it's like, what do you mean you want to go to Mass? This is a church. This is a museum. It's a church.
Yeah,
you
want to
go to Mass?
I'm here to visit Jesus. Can I please get in?
It was weird. It was,
That's nutty.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, this was 20, gosh, this was 20, oh, 31 years ago when I got thrown out of that church. And I'm still bitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I understand their concerns. I don't agree with that. If there's Mass going on, they should never say, you can't be here. Now, if someone goes in and starts taking pictures, yes, you should have ushers who kind of say, back in an hour. But if someone approaches an usher and says, I'm coming for Mass, at that point, their only response should be to step back and say, welcome. Mm-hmm. I mean, period. If someone says they're coming to Mass, and I mean, there's concerns within church law, but that's a charity issue. Goes back, we talk about treating homeless with charity. Well, same thing in these situations. Yeah, you might be a tourist, but tourists still have to go to Mass.
That's right.
And by the way, that's a hint. You're on vacation. Your Sunday obligation still applies. I know some priests have said otherwise. I'm telling you they're wrong.
Well, now let me ask you this question, though, because this actually happened to us on vacation. We had checked the church time. We had checked the church times, and we all actually got up and physically went to Mass, and we had crossed time zones, so we missed the Mass. So,
well, you made the effort. I mean, at least you, as I always tell people, the obligation is there, but God doesn't expect you to do the impossible.
Yeah.
Made the effort, you missed the fact that it was the wrong time zone. It's not like God's going to say, well, guess what?
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Because your time zone mistake, you're going to, you know, down there. No.
That counts more as an oops than an actual sin, exactly. I hope.
Now, if you said, oh, gee, it's at 10 o'clock Central Time, but, hey, we're on Mountain Time, so we'll go at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That works, right?
No. No credit for that. So this article is kind of funny. I mean, it's not, it's certainly not scientific. I think it was a Twitter poll that, that somebody took, and they just asked the question, and these are the responses that people gave. And I got to tell you, number one, irritates me. It's having a stand up and greet one another in the worship service.
I hate that.
Yeah, like right at the I remember that there was a time in the middle of the homily, and please introduce all the guests that are with you. And so all these parishioners are standing up and saying, this is my sister, and she's here from Minneapolis, and blah, 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 blah.
What I hate that one personally, and this goes back long before I was ever a priest, long before I was a seminarian. I went and visited, I think I was on vacation or traveling or something and ended up in a parish in a small town. And the priest did that.
That's another podcast. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Not a parish, but I was in this little town and or this little parish and just kind of in the back and kind of hid. And the priest walked down the aisle before Mass, before the opening hymn, before the procession, anything like that. And I know we've got visitors. Let's have them all stand up and introduce themselves and say where they're from. And I'm just like, don't notice me, don't notice me. And, of course, he's going out and he's pointing at like two or three other people and points right at me. Oh, you're new. Why don't you introduce yourself? I decided at that point I would never. It's so embarrassing. I mean, I'm here to worship our Lord, to receive him in Holy Communion, fulfill my obligation, yes. I'm not here to be a part of this community. I'm sorry. I mean, it's important to have a community, but I'm just passing through. So I agree that that is probably the worst, and I want to forward that to every priest I know who does stuff like this. I want to forward this and say, knock it off.
Stop putting people on the spot. Well, not to mention, it shouldn't really be happening in the middle of Mass either. That's not the
time for it. I understand, and believe me, you know, looking at this list, There is a need to be friendly, because the second item is unfriendly church members.
Mm-hmm.
And there very much is the need for that, and that's something I've been trying to convince people here, that we are going to get people if we are open and welcoming and friendly. And it was, you know, you look at a lot of parishes that you enter into the church and people are having their little conversations, you know, got all the extraordinary ministers and the lectors, and they're all talking about what's going on around town and all the family issues and all that. And someone walks in, they kind of look at them and keep talking, mm-hmm. if they even look at them. And, you know, that's important. That's very important. I, you know, when someone walks in the door, we should at least be saying, you know, good morning, welcome, glad you're here, something like that. Just something, it doesn't have to be much. But let's not embarrass them in front of the entire congregation.
All right. Well, you know, Don Bennelli wrote a reflection on that this week on his blog. Actually, it's also one of the other items on the list, a bad church website.
Oh, yes.
And he was talking about things that just don't make the church very welcoming to people. And I guess that's one of them. But my favorite on this list is members telling guests that they were in their seat or pew. Can you imagine that? Excuse me. You're sitting in my seat. Oh. What?
I'm going to embarrass a good friend of mine who's sick here in this parish. She's sick right now. I don't know if she's watching or not. I hope she is, because then I can embarrass her. But she talks about how one day her and a couple others went and sat in someone else's pew, and they knew they were sitting in someone else's pew. The dirty look they got when this person actually had to sit one pew away from the
kidding
pew.
Me? That is so ridiculous.
Just hilarious. Because I've traveled around a lot, we moved a lot when I was a kid, we never really had our pew. So I've never understood this is my pew. I have sat here since Jesus was an infant. Why are you sitting in it?
I don't get it.
I know all about them.
You know all about this?
Oh, my aunt. I used to take my aunt to Mass every Saturday evening, and she had her seat in the very back pew on the far left. And Mass was at 5:30, and it got to the point we were going at 4:30, so she could beat this other old lady that tried to sit in her seat. And there was this passive aggressive thing where it's like, I have to get there before Mrs. So-and-so. And I was like, really? Come on. You know, and she just like, nope, that's my seat, and she wants it.
This would be like when Jeff would want to gain control of the show again and say, time for another break. But we'll be back in a moment.
Hey, have you ever gone over to SQPN.com and clicked on the Amazon.com link before you did your shopping on Amazon.com? No? I can't believe it. You really need to do that because it doesn't cost you any more, but it really helps us out. Yes, you can do your shopping just as you normally do on Amazon, and we get a little bit of that purchase. Yes, and it all adds up, and it really, really helps our efforts in the new evangelization at the StarQuest Production Network. So before you make that purchase again, please consider going over to sqpn.com. Again, click on that banner, that link, and a little bit of that purchase will go to your favorite Catholic production network. Also, if you're in the market for web hosting, we can't recommend more highly Bluehost.com. Father Roderick uses Bluehost for his private website, his private blog, as does Steve Nelson, one of the guest hosts on Catholic Weekend, as well as Sarah Babulous, the Catholic Drinky. Her blog also is hosted by Bluehost. And again, they really help us out. If you sign up with Bluehost.com, a portion of that will go to, yes, SQPN.com. So please consider it, and thank you again for all of your support.
Well, we're back, folks, and I'm going to finish this off with one little tiny story because, you know what, I get to run the show. Ha! My favorite seat-taking episode happened when I worked in the church, and maybe Father, you can address this, or Steve, I guess with your campus ministry experience too. We used to have weekly staff meetings, and the pastor would sit at the front of the conference table, and then everybody else had their own seat, you know. And people didn't sit according to a particular hierarchy. It's just everybody had their own seat, and we had an associate who used to switch seats, and he would. He would sit in the deacon's seat or he would sit in the DRE seat and then just watch. And I used to think, Father, do you have to go to confession for that? Because you're getting too much glee out of this whole experience.
See, I would do that. I would do that.
You would mess it. Would you mix it up and mess people up?
I do that now.
We have messed up our audience by not having Jeff here today, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it, to me, is like, you know, I try to be aware of the habits that I get into, you know, and how it kind of starts to limit your ability or your perception of things. So if I feel like I'm always sitting in the same seat, then I'll just sit in another one just for the heck of it, you know, just to kind of change things up. I'm doing it for myself in a way. I'm not trying to like gig somebody, you know, and make them sit somewhere else. But
well, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, this idea of having your seat is kind of spiritually troubling. This idea that you always sit in the same place, and not because it's your habit, but are you making your spiritual life the same way? You're only doing things a certain way. You're only doing things the way you've always done it. You know, are you willing to sit in another place knowing there in a larger parish there are going to be people you don't know sitting next to you, sitting around you? Or do you sit in the same place because you and Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so have always sat next to each other, and there's a family you've watched growing up? Well, they've been, kids have been gone for 20 years, but they're still sitting in the same area. You know, it's, are you willing to get out of your comfort zone spiritually? You know, not just physically by where you sit, but spiritually.
I think the best part of the conversation now, when we have to do the picks of the week.
Uh-oh.
Where would you sit? My pick of the week is the back pew. Left side.
I'm tall, so I always tend to sit in the back because I'm self-conscious about blocking people. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I've just always kind of sat in the back. Not necessarily the back row, but near the back.
Of course, you know, I've got the reserve seat.
I knew you were going to say that. You're front and center, right?
Yep, exactly. Well, not center, off to the side, but in the front.
Off to the side.
When I would attend Mass, I would always end up, and it was never anything conscious, but I would always end up towards the front. First of all, if you're a visitor at church, there's always seats in the front.
And for the latecomers.
Yeah, exactly.
Come, there's seats up. I hate it when it's the priest that says, you.
Right. Move up.
Right. But I always sit to stand in the back, walk up front in front of everybody.
But I would sit about the fourth or fifth row on the right, and it would always end up being there. And I don't know, it was just kind of, that was the point where I ended up at. You know, it wasn't all the way at the front, but it was pretty close. Mm.
I like to sit where I sit in a classroom, and it seems to be always on the left side. Now, obviously, we sit in the back row now because it's a long walk from the parking lot, and John plops himself down in the first pew he can find, but... Mm-hmm. But I prefer just a little bit further up, but not quite at the halfway point. But I like it because it gives me a broader view of everything. But sometimes it also gives me a broader view of all the distractions at the same time.
Hmm. Say, Father, I need you to counsel me on something.
Okay.
Related to this. So where I go to Mass and where I tend to sit is next to this man who irritates me immensely, because he's okay. He's one of those people. He recites the prayers very loudly,
okay,
and slower than everybody else. So he finishes after everybody else does, and so I'm sitting there, and it's like I want to get up and move, but then it's like, am I being rude and uncharitable because I'm allowing this man to irritate me? And you know, so I have this spiritual battle in my head, and I was like, I don't want to be that guy that's like, I'm trying to avoid him because I don't, you know, am I making myself clear? I'm having this battle about what I should do about this.
Yeah, you're a jerk. Why don't you just sit in another pew?
I know, but then the intent, no, it's not that I'm resisting that, but it's the intent is like, I don't want to shun this guy. I don't want him to be the guy that ends up sitting on the back pew all by himself because everybody else has moved away from him. You know?
Have you ever read St. Therese of Lisieux's Story of a Soul?
Are you talking about the sister that she had to help?
Yeah, she kept clicking her teeth and making all kinds of noise. And
yes. I knew you were going to go there.
You know, I would...
Yeah. Effectively, he's saying, suck it up, cupcake.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing.
You know, if nothing else, join in just as loudly at his pace.
No.
Pray for him. There you go.
Listeners, send in your questions to Father Corey at Catholic Weekend at sqpn.com.
I haven't been accused of being the most pastoral priest, as you can tell.
Suck it up, cupcake.
Well, I think we need to be challenged sometimes.
Yeah. Believe me, it's hard. We've got a couple of gentlemen here. We got one gentleman in particular who is quite loud and hasn't quite figured out the new prayers, you know, the new translation. Mm-hmm. 3 years on. We just let him be.
And he just goes on his own now.
Yep. He kind of notices when everybody else quits because it is right and just is a lot shorter than it is right to give you thanks and praise. And he just kind of trails off and does it the next time.
And also with you.
Yeah.
And also with your spirit.
Yep.
I did that about a week or so ago. I guess my mind was wandering, and I was always like, where did that come from? I was so embarrassed. I was like, I wonder if anybody else heard that.
you get into your autopilot. Well, I think that we've really just got beyond. But I liked our conversation. So there's going to be no picks of the week. You guys don't have any anyway, do you?
Not really.
I sure don't.
Maybe we'll do a quick pick of the week. Just advertise Tech to the Future, the new podcast that Father Roderick's doing. I was able, before we recorded here, Catholic Weekend, I was recording the latest episode of Tech to the Future with Father Roderick. So if you're geeky bent or you have geek questions, you can listen to that podcast.
Awesome.
I have to say that is the perfect name for that show. That is like the geekiest name.
Why do you think Father Roderick chose it?
I know. I mean, like, it was like, that is awesome. And it's so nerdy. Perfect.
Does it have really bad science fiction music?
Oh, yeah. It's got, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's actually more kind of rock and music. So
that's hilarious. Well, Steve, do you have anything?
Only that the Feast of Christ the King is coming up, and that means the end of the liturgical year, which means Advent is coming.
Happy New Year.
That's my pick of the week. Feast of Christ the King. Go to Mass. Especially go to Mass that Sunday.
Go to confession first. That's always a good thing, too. So I guess let's wrap up the Good Diva's new book, The Grace of Yes. She's having her Grace of Yes Day on Tuesday, November 18th. So take a picture of yourself holding a sign that says...
Download them from the website.
You can download them from... Go to catholicmom.com and chase all the proper links to that. And tell us what you say yes to. She wants to hear it. So hashtag... What is it? Grace of Yes Day?
Yep. I think it is Grace of Yes Day.
Grace of Yes Day, November 18th.
I just got my copy, and I'm getting ready to start reading it today.
Ooh, woo. There's a whole chapter about you, Deb.
Not me.
Mm-hmm. There is. No. All right, so where can we find you? Father? Where are you hanging out in those cyber spheres?
Well, you can find me on Google, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of fun stuff at Fr. Corey Sticha, last name spelled Sticha. You can find my homilies at frcorey.org, and you can find me occasionally on Tech to the Future. Secrets of Doctor Who is on hiatus for a little while until the Christmas episode comes out, and occasionally on The Sports Fathers with Father Daryl.
Hey, tell us, I'm just curious about your homilies, because I've never checked that out. Is it just is it really just your homily that we can download?
It is. I use my little Android tablet to give my homilies, the outline's on that, and I just hit record as I'm giving my homily.
Sweet. Awesome. Do you actually write it all out, or do you just give yourself points and you...
I use outline. I find if I write it out, then I sound like I'm reading it, and it just doesn't sound natural,
Those are the best.
Yeah.
The best. My pastor has a sticky note in his Magnificat.
That's what he speaks.
And they're great. They're some of the best homilies I've ever heard, but it's just all on one little yellow sticky note that he has stuffed into, so he can refer to the scripture.
That's a good idea.
That's a good one. Well, where can we find you, Steve?
Everything is Stavon.com. And if you find me there, you're lucky. Now, I've hit this... It seems like every year or so, I hit this void, and it's like, what am I supposed to do with this blog now? I've changed jobs, moved to a new place and everything, and it's like, okay, I got to figure out what this is about again. Any ideas, let me know.
Working on it. All right, so follow Steve. He's got some good tweets every once in a while, too. And you can find me at Another Cup of Coffee, bageljohnson.com. I'm really not posting many items during the week, but I really have been enjoying the weekly photo challenge that the Daily Post at WordPress does. So I've got another picture up there from yesterday, and follow me on Twitter at Bago. And, you know, I'm on Facebook, but I don't really, whatever. Maria Johnson. Well, thanks everybody for listening to another week of this train wreck. Make sure that you send lots of feedback to make sure that Jeff comes back next week and doesn't go flying off again. Thank you all, and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.